What's going on, all my podcast listener? C Jizzle and the Wizzle bringing you episode 2 of the night. So, one of the business ideas that I've had, and I'm not going to get too far into details because then somebody could take my idea, but I've thought about maybe getting a cargo trailer to pull behind my van. And inside the cargo trailer is going to be a podcast studio. It's going to be soundproofed and everything. You know, you're not going to be able to hear anybody talking about anything in there. You're not going to be able to hear any coughing or laughing. And part of the reasoning is because whenever I do get on the road, get into van life, and I start doing these podcasts with people, a lot of the time it's going to be parked on occupied roads, or roads where somebody could be walking by and hear what's going on, or hear people coughing from smoking weed, or whatever. And I want to make sure that nobody can hear that shit, because first of all, it's who wants to get interrupted during a podcast? First of all, and second of all, I don't want to have the police knocking at my door interrupting a podcast, and third of all, whenever you're smoking weed and whatnot, high as fuck during a podcast, there's no worse time to get interrupted. You know, somebody knocks on the door and says, "Hey, can I get a puff?" or some stupid shit. It's fucking dumb. So I want to get a cargo trailer. And like I said, I'm not going to divulge all of the information on what I want to do, but I want to, that's going to be the main part of it, is having a cargo trailer that you pull behind, and on the inside, I can have the desk, the sound booth, the microphone, the keyboard, the laptop, and then I can also have seating for people that are my guests. I can have a technical assistant to help me look shit up. And we can continue to make these podcasts for years to come. And I want to do that. I really want to get something to where, you know, I have a lot of podcasts. I have over 2 years of podcasts. And I'm thinking of starting another chapter. There's supposed to be different seasons or whatnot. And I think I'm going to do them in 2 year seasons. I don't know. It just seems like the easiest way to do it. 2 year seasons, you know, 10 years of my life, you know, would be 5 seasons. That's just going to be the easiest way to pack all that content into such a small area. And eventually, I'll probably be able to get, like I said, my own storage, my own laptop and everything to do my own podcast. Right now, I'm just running off of a phone. And that's really hard for me, because for me to look that shit up, for me to go back, and, you know, this data could get corrupted, or this phone could get broken. It would be very, very hard for me to find all my different accounts. I would probably be able to, but it would just be a pain in the ass. So if I have a laptop that has all my information on it, it has everything backed up on a hard drive, if I was to break this phone, I could still have a laptop where I could get online with it, you know? I don't know. I know that once I do get a laptop, and once I do get a new phone, I'm gonna have to get a new internet provider, because this one, this phone that I've been using, has been on ghost mode for about the past year or two. I don't know. If I get a new phone, I gotta get a new data plan and all that shit, and I'm not really ready to do that yet. I could. It's not going to be very fun. I could. I know eventually that I will have to do all that, but getting a laptop, getting a new data plan, getting a new phone costs a lot of money all at the same time. And, you know, where I live at, like I said, I don't even know if I could get Wi-Fi here, but where I live at, I'm only going to be here for like another 6 months. So, for me to sign a 12-month contract would be stupid. If it came down to it, and for some reason I couldn't use this phone, I want everybody to know that I probably won't be making podcasts for a while, because, I don't know, after the first month or two I'm going to get sick of it, and I'm just going to have to get a new provider. But I'm going to have to get a new phone here anyways, to be honest. Especially if the screen cracks on this one, because I've been putting this phone through hell. And I've had it for, I don't know, a good 2 years. Probably a little more, about 2 years, I don't know. It's a good phone, but it's slowly and surely becoming outdated. That's the thing, you know, with Android phones, you know, even with iPhones, really, but after a year, you know, everybody's always trying to get the new iPhone. With this phone, I feel like I've already put 2 years into it, and I can put maybe 3-4 years into it. It's got so much pictures and data and everything on this phone that it's like my life. So for me to be able to move that and transfer that to another phone, I don't want to lose any of those pictures or any of those that data. So I want to back it up to a laptop or back it up to a hard drive. And I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. So I don't think I'm going to be able to do that until until I can afford to get a laptop. And that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. So I'm probably just going to have to hold on to this phone, get a new phone, and after I get into the van life and I can save up enough money, to get a laptop, then I can unload all of whatever's on the phone. But Motorola makes a really good phone. I don't know what it is, but Motorola Zoom, the Motorola, what are they had so many different, the Motorola phone company had so many different lines of different phones. It's so crazy. They had the Moto Play, the Moto Play, the Moto Zoom, the Moto Power. It was crazy. Now, I've got the Moto Zoom. And if I would have kept the original charger with it and used the quick charger or whatever, it'd probably still be a very good phone. But I've been using a shitty charger, and the battery's been kind of like going downhill a little bit, and it's got a very good camera system on it, a very good operating system on it, and whatnot. So I love Motorola. I love Motorola when it comes to Android, and I'll never own an iPhone in my life. I will never own an iPhone. I swear on my mother's soul and by the God above that I will never own an iPhone. So you got all these Android phones that are being taken over by like Google Pixel and shit like that. I'm not gonna buy a Google Pixel phone, I can tell you that. And they've got like the Samsungs that you can buy, but they're like fucking $1,000. And then next year there's gonna be something that's brand new, so I don't know. It's going to cost a lot of money. Because I'm really thinking about keeping this phone as long as I can. Really. I mean, it's a good phone. It's got its problems with the battery or whatever. But if I can get a new battery replacement, or if I can get a new phone that's just like this one, well, that's not going to work either, because, you know. Yeah, that's not going to work. I can't get a replacement phone. This is a good phone. I don't care who you are. Like, if you get a Motorola, it's going to last you a long time. And I've dropped this motherfucker countless times on the concrete. I've got a rubber protective case, I guess you can call it. It's not very protective, but, and then I've got a screen guard, a glass screen guard that's put across the front. I've already cracked the screen guard like fucking 6 times. And for some reason, somehow, I haven't cracked the real screen yet, so knock on wood, I hope it doesn't happen, because I've been thinking lately that if I crack the screen on this, I'm fucked. There's no way around it. I mean, I'd have to go out, buy a new phone, buy a new carrier. And I don't want to have to do that. I'd probably have to go back to AT&T. Either way, this phone has lasted me so long. I had bought one for $500 whenever it first came out. The Motorola Zoom. on Home Shopping Network, they had them for like $500. Unlocked, you know, to where I can use it for any carrier that I wanted. And I set it up for like AT&T. And then I ended up getting drunk one night, living at my mom's house. And I rode home one night. And somehow, one way or another, I don't know, I left it out in the street. I dropped it out in the street. And the garbage truck came by the next day and ran it over. So I got online again, and it was on sale for like $250 for half price. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna buy it. And ever since then, I've had the same phone. Same phone. It's a great phone. This one's lasted me for a long time. As long as you don't let it get ran over by a fucking car or a dump truck, you're alright. You know, you get a screen protector on it. This same screen protector has lasted me for months. For years, probably. For probably a year. I've dropped it while I've been riding my bike, doing 30 miles an hour. Many, many different times I've dropped this phone. Never had the fucking screen crack on me. Never. And I've never had to worry about it shitting out on me or, you know. So. I paid $250 for this one. Paid $500 for the first one, but $250 for this one, and it's lasted me for 2 years. Probably a little more than 2 years, but that's $125 a year. That it's a really good phone. I love the operating system on it. Anywho, away from the whole cell phone thing, because we could be here for hours talking about cell phones. Motorola is king. Motorola's been making shit since we went to war. Motorola's been making walkie-talkies and shit since we went to World War I, probably. Honestly, one of the best phones I've ever had. I love Samsung. Samsung's a good brand for phones, but it doesn't have shit on Motorola, period. I've got this coworker that I work with, and she's training in, well, she's starting her training into getting into the Marines. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure it's the Marines. And so she's always talking about how she's so fit and she's so trained, you know. And so I think what I heard her say the other day is that she had until January. But I'm pretty sure that's, she's full of shit. Either way. Yeah, I mean, that's like 1 month away from now. Either way, I want me and her to go on a bike ride together. So Because I want to show her what 5 miles feels like every day. We can ride 2.5 miles to somewhere, and then we can ride 2.5 miles back. And hopefully it's to her house or something, because she's not going to feel like doing the rest of it. But doing 5 miles every day for a whole week will get you pretty, I'm not going to say built, but it's going to get you pretty shaped up. And there's a difference between walking, running, riding a bicycle, walking on a treadmill. There's a complete difference. And I know a lot of people will swear up and down that, oh no, it's all the same. It's all cardio. But it's not. It's completely different. And if you are like me and you ride a bike every day, and then you go and you run on a treadmill or do a stair climber or anything like that, you're still going to be sore the next day. There's so many muscle joints that you don't target, they're going to be sore. I mean, that's just the way it is. You might think that just because you ride a bike every day, like me, that you're in fit condition, you know. But I'm telling you, you ride a bike like me, and then you go and you get on a fucking leg press or a stair stepper or something, oh my gosh. Huh. The next day, you're going to be sore as fuck. And there's even been days when I was off work, you know, or maybe I was at work, who knows. And I was like lifting cheese or something, like 20-pound bricks of cheese. Maybe that's what did it. But I had bruises on my arms, and I was sore, and so that's a whole nother thing, too. You're used to riding your bike for your lower body, but you need to work on your upper body as well. And so, but even if you're like me, like I said, you ride your bike every day to work, 5 miles a day, 5 miles a day, 5 days a week, you would think that, oh, you know, they're in good shape. But if you get on a fucking tread climber or a treadmill, you're gonna realize that there are many, many muscle groups really quick. And even though, like I said, I was used to working out by riding my bike every day, I realized that when you get on just the treadmill, really, I mean, my friend was really surprised and shocked because I was a smoker. And he was like, how can you keep up with me when you smoke cigarettes? And I said, you're 7 foot tall. That's why. And so, somebody who is like 5'9", 6 foot, compared to somebody that's 7 foot tall, 7 foot three, they're going to be able to run a lot easier because they have a lot less mass to carry, a lot less bones. a lot less muscle. And even though I'm a smoker, yeah, I've smoked for years or months or whatever, I still outpowered and outran him. And he wanted to know what I was doing. He was like, dude, there is no way that you smoke cigarettes and that you can outrun me on a treadmill. And I said, you know, when it comes down to working out, when it comes down to power and endurance and whatnot, I don't usually do a treadmill. I usually don't, because a treadmill really works too hard on your heart and on your knees and your joints and whatnot. There's no point in really even doing it. There really isn't. They say, oh, it's to get your blood pumping, it's to get, you know, you can do that with lifting weights. You can do that with doing some curls, starting out really small, you know. It's all a bunch of hoopla. It's all a bunch of, well, you should do this. But if you know, if your body knows what it needs, that's what you need to listen to, is your body. Is what, you know, I need some more curls. I need some more leg presses. I need, you know, and every other day you should be leg presses and squats and shit one day. And then the next day you should be doing curls, lateral presses, rowing machine. Fuck a treadmill. Who, you know, every bodybuilder that I talk to says, stay away from the treadmills, stay away from all that shit, because it melts into your body fats. Starts burning off all your body fats, and you need those body fats to make muscle, to make pure premium muscle. If you burn it all off on the treadmill, you're doing nothing. You're doing twice as much work for nothing. And there's no reason why, you know, a lot of people think I'm fat, or I'm overweight, or, you know. Now, I could tell you, when I got up to wearing a size 40, 42 in men's pants, that's when I started thinking that maybe I was getting overweight, maybe. And even then, I was a powerhouse. I was a pure powerhouse. I was lifting weights. I was drinking creatine. I was eating a lot of protein. And I lived in a household that, at that time, where I could eat a whole pizza and pile it full of cheese and whatnot and still be hungry. And that's, you know, looking back at it, that was what I needed to do to get more muscle, to get more premium protein, to get, and that's what I'm gonna have to do now. But the thing is, when you look back at it, you're like, that was so unhealthy. That was so unhealthy to eat a whole pizza with all that cheese on it, with all those bacon bits and shit. And to think about what I'm eating now, it's so unhealthy. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, if not worse. Because, you know, I'm not putting in the work. I'm not working out like I should. And I've been putting it off for a while because I've been wanting to gain some weight, and I've been wanting to put on some nutrition because for the longest time I've just been kind of getting by, and so I want to put on some weight, put on some nutrition, and then I want to start working out. Because a lot of people, they try and use they try and use the whey protein or whatever, the shaker bottles, and try and put on the weight and whatnot. You have to have weight to make weight. If that makes any sense. And it's the same thing with, you have to have money to make money. And I have to be at least 200 pounds before I can start burning some of that shit off and making muscle. And the beginning of the year's coming up where there's going to be a sale for me to get on a gym membership, and I think that's going to be the perfect thing for me to do. It's right over by my job, so if all I gotta do is pay $100, $200 for a whole year, then that's what I'm gonna do. So I can get the VIP card. If I get a membership, I can get the black card. If I wanna take anybody with me anytime I go up there, I can do that. With having the membership for a whole year, I can do that. And so, you know, my coworker Aiden is like skin and bones, just like I am. I mean, we don't have any muscle really on me. I mean, not like we would want. And as soon as he goes and he gets on that curling machine for one night, he's gonna realize the next day of how beneficial it really is. Because, like I said, my friend came to town and he had a pass for me to go one day. And like I said, I set that curling machine up for like 60 pounds or whatnot. 60 pounds was a good repetition because 80 pounds was just like a little too much. And I can get more lifts out of it if I got 60. And the next day, whenever I woke up, I felt so sore, but I felt so good. It's the greatest feeling ever. Whenever you build new muscle tissue and you've never really, I don't know, it's a hard thing to really explain. You've never really done it before, but once you start building muscle tissue and you start feeling it, and the next day you wake up and you're sore, and it's a good kind of sore, you just want to get back in there the next day. And so you put it off a day, let your muscles kind of rebuild, and you get back into the gym another day. So me and my coworker could go there every other day, pretty much. He doesn't need to have a membership, 'cause I've got the membership. So then maybe once he gets hooked, once he gets buff enough, but it takes a little bit of time. It takes, you know, for me, all it took was one day going there and doing the curl presses and doing the lat presses and whatnot, and I could feel it the next day. But for somebody like him, yeah, it's probably going to take one day, maybe a week, whatnot, but he's going to feel the difference. And if I could pay $200 a year for me to be able to not only help myself out, but to go with my coworker across the street, and because it's literally like fucking right across the street. We can get off work and go over there and work out for an hour or two. It'll give him a reason to get away from his girlfriend. Maybe we can go pick up his girlfriend and she can come along with. I don't know if she'd be able to go in there and watch or anything without having a membership, but I know how young people are, and I know his girlfriend's kind of insecure and thinks that he's cheating on her and shit. And even if he's got to stay an hour later for work, he's got to let her know. So going and working out for an hour or two isn't going to be, she's not going to really believe him. So that's another thing we got to kind of talk about. So if he does want to go, that's fine. If not, I'm still going to have the membership. So if I get off work at 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever, midnight, I can go and walk literally across the street. It'll take me 5 minutes to get there and go and do my workout. And I'm gonna have to get some kind of energy base going on here soon, because if I was to start tomorrow, if I was to just go and start working out tomorrow, I could do some bicep curls and some of this and whatnot, but I wouldn't really have the energy to do it. I'm feeling really kind of weak here lately. So what I need to do is start finding energy, and the only way I've been doing that lately is with coffee. You know, if I wake up, drink a couple cups of coffee, smoke some weed, then I'm probably ready to go work out. I don't know. But even then, you know, first of all, I gotta wake up. So, I mean, I've been talking about this for a while, about getting a gym membership, about working out, eating better. I've also been talking about getting a van life for a while, living better, and so it's kind of, it's going to be a metamorphosis type thing. I'm going to get into one, and then I'm going to get into the other, and, you know, I don't know. Once I've already paid the money for it, for a gym membership, I'm going to use it every month. I mean, not only that, but if you're living in a van, you have to have a fucking gym membership. Because you have to be able to take showers and all that shit. And that's really the only place you can really take a shower is at a gym. I mean, you can take a shower at a truck stop, but who the fuck wants to do that? There's a lot of gyms out there where you can cut your hair, trim your beard, get your shower, and whatnot. Go and do your workout. it's not so bad, really. You spend 2 hours a day doing that shit, you know, like I said, you go and you get your shower, you trim your beard, and then you spend an hour working out. So, you spend an hour cleaning yourself up, spend an hour working out, it's not that bad. People that are materialized people that have to have that big house with all those cars and all that shit. That's the downfall of you. That's the downfall of you. It really isn't worth, you know, maybe later down the road, you know, later is what I'm thinking, because I'm 32 years old and right now I can't really afford to go out and buy a Dodge Challenger or anything. They're a piece of shit anyways, but my brother-in-law said he couldn't even get through the snow with it. But anywho, even if I was to go and buy one, I couldn't afford it right now. So what is the point in going out? And a lot of these kids, they go out and they get two jobs just to pay for the car. And then they live off their baby's mom and off of food stamps and welfare. And what's the fucking point? What's the point? You got this fucking $60,000 car you work two jobs for while your kids and your baby's mom struggle. It's crazy. It's crazy. And then a lot of the time they end up losing their job or whatever, and they've got $30,000 already paid towards it, and oh, it gets repoed. They get it repossessed after they paid all that money for nothing. It's crazy. Paid $30,000 for a Challenger that's $60,000, and then you let it come and get repossessed. That's stupid. Now, first of all, if you have a car that's up for repossession, everybody knows, if you got a brain, to put that motherfucker in a garage and close the door. They're not going to be able to come and pull a truck up to it if it's in the garage. You know, that's the first thing. And you see all these videos on Facebook where these motherfuckers just leave it parked in the driveway or leave it parked on the street. If you know that you're behind on your payments and you have a garage, which sometimes I've seen a garage, put the motherfucker in the garage. Like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? You know, I'm not saying it's right because, like I said, you're behind on your payments, but you're stupid for letting your shit get taken. 9 times out of 10, you just leave that shit parked on a side road somewhere while you're partying for fucking 6 hours. And when it comes down to repossession companies and they got a $60,000 Challenger that they're coming after, let's say, they're coming for that shit. If they see you fucking parked, they're like, oh yeah, I seen that bright orange Challenger down here. That's money in their pocket. That's how they make their living, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of these people are like, why are you towing my car? And why are you fucking... Dude, it's because you're behind on your shit. So, you know, I mean, 3/4 of the Americans that probably live in this country can't afford their cars. Just their cars alone. Okay? They're like behind on the payments and a whole bunch of shit. And then they've got a house payment, insurance payments. Maybe they've got children and they've got medical bills to pay or some shit. You better have that shit locked up in a fucking garage. I'm telling you. And even then, I mean, even then, they've got GPS tracking on a lot of that shit. They know where it's at. They can come to your front door and say, yeah, we know it's in your fucking garage. I don't know. With me, I'm not going to go out and buy a new car unless I have the money to do so. If I only have 10 grand and the car is worth 60,000, I'm not going to do that. If I have 20 grand and the car is worth 40 grand, then I might maybe consider that. It's already halfway paid off, right? These young kids, they don't give a fuck. They don't care. And then 9 times out of 10, you see it up on an auction somewhere, or you see it on a website for sale. They've already ran the motherfucker into the ground. Haven't changed the oil. They fucking ran the motherfucker hard as fuck. And they're selling this shit. Maybe the fucking fuel pump went out on it. They don't care. You're paying for what you get. So, I'm buying a fucking pellet gun for Christmas. I don't give a fuck. Just like a Christmas story. It's gonna be just like a Christmas story. I'm buying a pellet gun. Because I thought that I heard another fucking bat in my apartment. And I thought to myself, even if there was another bat in here, I could call animal control or whatever. 2:30 in the morning, I could. Or I could just shoot the motherfucker and be done with it. So, $30, I can buy a pellet gun. I've been really thinking about brushing up on my target practice as well. So, you know, buying the right pellets and buying the right targets and whatnot. Getting out there in the yard and practicing and getting everything sighted in. It's a fun little hobby to do. So when you finally do get a bat or a bird or a rat or whatever, you can shoot that motherfucker and know that you're going to hit it every time. And it's crazy because where I live at, I haven't had any problems with mice or rats or anything. But I've had bats like 6 times probably within the past 2 years. No bugs, no mice, but bats. Bats are scary as fuck because they're basically flying mice. And they don't chew through anything like mice do. Like, they don't chew through caulk, or they don't chew through steel wool or anything. But they're flying rodents, and if you do have them in your apartment, the chances of them having rabies, especially in the months that have R, is really high. And it's December, so it's a month that has an R in it. Now, I've already called animal control and they've removed one of them and tested it. And I thought that I've heard other ones come and go here and there, but I haven't seen any, you know. So, I've been keeping my heat turned down really low. Maybe even turning it off. And today, it only got down to like 42. It's really kind of warm today. It was in the upper, lower 50s. And when it got down to the lower 40s, it's still not cold enough to freeze out a bat. So, that's about what temperature they start looking to hibernate is about 50 degrees, 40 degrees. It's where they're trying to find somewhere warm to go. And I've already had one that's been removed. And earlier, whenever I was sitting on the porch, I was smoking a cigarette, and it sounded like there was another one that was fighting some of the birds that were out front. Because I have two bushes that are out front that are full of birds. And there was something that flew into it, or flew away from me. As soon as I moved, it flew away from me, and caused a whole bunch of fucking ruckus. The birds were fucking going crazy. And then this thing was flying around, and it was chirping like a bird, but I don't know if it was a bird. I think it was a bat. I don't know. I'm not really sure. But either way, I've got a really fine lookout for bats lately. There's a little bat somewhere in there. I don't know if he's in the wall or what, but I know I hear him in there chirping and squeaking. It's getting pretty cold, you know, outside. I mean, it's not cold enough to where he can't survive, but that's why he's probably trying to make his way in here. It's looking like tonight it's going to get down to 40 degrees, which is probably why, like I said, he's made his way in here. I don't usually hear too many. I have thought I heard a bat one time before, but after I got that other one out of here, but I haven't ever seen a bat. So, until I can actually see it, you know, where it's actually flying around, sitting on top of the cabinets or something, I can't call animal control. So, because it's basically in the walls or in the attic. So, I turned down all the heat as much as I could. We'll see if that makes a difference, but I really doubt it. So, I've got about 5 minutes left on this podcast. Less than 5 minutes. If I end up having a little conundrum with the bat, then I guess I'll end up making another podcast. I don't really expect that tonight, but we'll see. We'll see. You never know. It's really crazy to have to go in here and try and think about making food or something with a bat in the kitchen somewhere. Somewhere he's in there. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen him yet, but even if I did, it's not going to be very good for him. Hopefully, he doesn't have any rabies. So, till then, I don't know. And end up getting off of here after this podcast. I'm going to make something to eat. And hopefully I don't run into Mr. Barry the Bat Jr. So, until then, it was real, it was fun, but it wasn't real fun. So, till the next one, deuces.